Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following show may contain adult themes not suitable for children.
Shut the hell up.
Club 1080 with Isaac and Souk.
It does go well with a chicken.
Club 1080 on the Fan is brought to you by Better You Today. Real weight loss, results, education, accountability, and lifestyle. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com.
I didn't know hanging out with you was making me smarter.
Full disclosure, Morty, it's not. Temporary super intelligence is just a side effect of the mega seeds dissolving in your rectal cavity.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And once those seeds wear off, you're going to lose most of your motor skills, and you're also going to lose a significant amount of brain functionality for 72 hours, Morty. Starting right about now.
Make that up, because...
Stop breaking news, dude.
Yeah! Oh!
What's that like?
You gotta never think of it.
Rocking you on a Friday. Why did I say that?
Figuratively and literally.
Those are just beautiful balls.
Yeah, she's gonna whip me hard over that. He may not want to do them, but...
What?
Hi, I'm a balloon. Bye.
Quality montage tonight there, Maestro. Dodgers leading the Nationals 2-0. Second inning. Walker Buehler looks pretty good. There's your sports news on Delicious Dish.
That is a great, great Saturday Night Live bit.
Have you watched Buzz yet on HBO?
No, I have not seen Buzz.
So that was the remember I told you that Buzz Bissinger likes to cross-dress?
Yeah.
Which is...
And he's got some new series where he's exploring... sexuality or something?
Yeah, it's not a series. It's an hour and a half documentary. And it's about Buzz Bissinger, the author.
Who's just a grade-A red ass.
Yeah, he's a little strange, man. And he admits that he is. And he's doing a memoir. He's penning Caitlyn Jenner's memoir.
Okay.
So it follows his meetings with Caitlyn, and they're talking about what they're going to put in the book. And... through that, Buzz Bissinger is exploring his own sexuality, and he has no idea how to explain it, but he's always been into S&M and leather, and he cross-dresses.
Yeah, he's not transitioning.
No.
He just likes to cross-dress.
But he also leaves it open that he could maybe want to transition. He doesn't understand...
His sexuality,
but he knows that it's all because of Caitlyn that he believes, because he has a good relationship with Caitlyn. He believes that he learned that you just have to be open about your sexuality. And he...
This is like one of those, if your friend jumps off the Brooklyn Bridge, would you jump off too? And apparently Buzz is like, let's dive.
Well, he said that he's always had it like this affinity for it, but he never really... He always kind of suppressed it. But Caitlyn inspired him to just be himself. And so the movie is not all that good. I'll just warn you now. Because he doesn't, whether he's holding back, I don't know, but he doesn't really have a lot of answers. So he's kind of uninteresting other than the fact that he just explains why he likes leather and S&M and what it makes him feel. And there's some weird shots and videos.
Yeah,
and,
if you Google Buzz Bissinger.
he's out there now with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, be prepared. You're going to see some stuff.
And the interesting thing about the show, the thing that keeps the show moving is his wife.
Who's standing by him, right?
Well, I won't spoil it for you if you're going to watch it. Because the big thing is, do they stay together or not? And they reveal that at the end. But she is quite interesting in how she handles it. And ultimately, what ends up happening, I won't tell you, but I don't know. It's just odd. Very odd.
Well, the whole thing is strange, right? Hey, I've said on the program many times, whatever you're into, man, great. Whatever
and that's what he's saying. He's just saying, hey, whatever you're into, own it, and he is.
I just think it's to be, like, you and your wife have been together for what? 14, 15 years? Something like that?
18 years.
18 years.
Total. Not married.
Not married, but you've been together 18 years.
Yeah.
I'm trying to imagine the conversation if you come home and are like...
We were watching it together, and she and I turned to her and I said,
Hey, Danny,
I got a little something to tell you.
While you're gone. Like, you know when you're on those road trips? I like to have a pretty princess outfit.
Sue and I dress up, and he dominates me. What do you think about that, babe?
Wouldn't that be something?
When a guy dominates you like that...
What did she
there's
say?
There's nothing you can do but throw your hands up and go, dude, that's impressive.
Did she have an answer for what?
For what?
Like, is that something that she'd be like, is that a deal breaker? Or she's like into it?
No, we both thought that the wife was a little, it's like, man, she is. Well, you have to see the show, and I'm trying not to spoil it. At first, it's just a little S&M.
Sure.
It's just some leather.
And this guy's saying, did you know that most cross-dressers are straight? Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the whole thing. It's
yeah, but he doesn't... Okay, so but Bissinger is open to the idea that he is not straight. He cannot figure out why he likes the sexual things that he does. He can't figure it out. And he says it's a purely sexual thing for him, but he doesn't understand why he has it. So he's kind of working through it, which why the movie doesn't...
Isn't that everybody, though? Like, you know, Mike is into shark sex. We don't know why Mike's into shark sex. He just is.
Well, his wife is.
Yeah, so it's like...
She likes sharks.
You know, is there... It's like one of those things that when you were a kid, did you know why you liked girls or why you liked boys? So I always laugh at people that say it's a choice. I always ask, when did you decide to like girls or when did you decide to like boys? I didn't. I just was like, I don't know what this is, but I know that I like it, and this is great.
Well,
that's everyone.
Some
it's just
people
that,
are a little deeper than you, and he's
just,
exploring.
There's just, you know, I get why if you're into something that you would consider to be really weird, you'd want to know, but... You know,
but they don't have sex. So he and his wife, she admits in there that they haven't had sex in a long time.
So he's not into that. He's into...
Well, they don't have sex. He said that they used to a ton, and they don't anymore, and that's perfectly fine with it. Like, they're pretty old. I mean, they're getting... I think they're both in their 60s. I say pretty old, but
I think
they're
a
just,
lot of couples are like that.
Right.
You reach a point, you're like,
that's
you know
right.
What? We're,
no question.
Yeah, we're past that.
And so she said, I don't need the sexual part of it. I've had that time in my life, and they're really close. Like, they really love each other.
Yeah, they're like best friends.
But then it's just a little S&M, and he reveals that he's into this, and she's like, okay, well, you know, if that's what you're into, let's do this. And she doesn't participate, but he does his thing. And then... It takes a turn.
She kind of looks like Alanis Morissette a little bit.
His wife?
Yeah.
Well, he's got multiple wives. Sorry. This is his third wife.
Oh, okay.
This is his third wife.
All right.
They live in Oregon. They live in Long Beach,
okay.
Oregon.
Can we get Buzz on the program? Can he wear his hot pants?
I don't know. I didn't find him all that interesting in the documentary, but I found his wife fascinating. So anyway, watch that. That's on HBO. It's called Buzz.
Okay.
But I don't know why we were talking about that.
I don't know.
Well,
you brought it up. You said
I did.
About HBO. I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. Joker, you and your bro saw Joker last night?
Independently of one another, but we did see it. He went and saw the early one, and then I went and saw the late show.
No, I hear it's really good. Long Beach, Washington. Sorry, not Oregon.
It's not as good as... And I've read many different reviews on this. There's a lot of hype around it. And
I've heard it's really dark.
It's dark.
And really good, and leave the kids at home.
Here's the... When we went and saw the 9 or 9:30, we went and saw one of the later showings last night, there was a family there with probably 4- and 5-year-olds.
Ooh.
And I just... Look, I'm not saying I'm the world's greatest parent, but there was a couple points in that movie where I was like, what the hell? Like, what are you doing? Because the kids were asking questions. And you could hear it. First off, it was annoying that the kids were asking questions during tense moments, but I'm like, yeah, maybe, just maybe, leave the 5-year-old at home, all right? That's, you know, get a sitter. But I've seen a couple different critics that have said this about the movie. If it wasn't so dark and causing controversy, it wouldn't be getting the rave reviews that it is. It's...
Well,
it's not that great a movie. It's edgy and it kind of starts a conversation. It's not some sort of masterpiece. He, and I'm talking about Joaquin Phoenix, is amazing.
Yeah.
Like his portrayal is, and it's a realistic, it's a more realistic view of mental illness. It's more about mental illness than it is about, you know, it's not a superhero movie in any shape or form. Right, there's no elements of a superhero movie.
Well, don't you think
it.
That's why people are bringing their families is like they think it is. It's
yeah.
the Joker.
It's and it's
the,
not. It has nothing to do with Batman. It's as far a departure from a superhero movie as you could possibly get. But it's not some I'll bet you that 5-10 years from now this movie doesn't age well. Because he'll get nominated for an Oscar and he may win it and he deserves it. But, you know, a lot of times you just go back and you watch a movie and you're like, wow, why was that such a big deal? Because it deals with a lot of the what's going on right now with society and rich versus poor and mental health and how we treat one another and that. And it's set in the 70s, but it's very relevant to what's going on right now and the rich versus poor thing and... I think that's caused in a lot of controversy, but you strip that away, it is not Silence of the Lambs. It is not something that 20 years from now is going to hold up. And I'm seeing a lot of critics that are starting to write that and being like, a lot of the praise and a lot of the hype around this movie is because it's causing controversy, but you strip all that away and it's not a great movie, but he is amazing.
It's like There Will Be Blood with Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yes.
Daniel, that was not a great movie, but Daniel Day-Lewis was so good in it. It made it a really good film, and he won Best Actor for it.
Yes.
It's like that.
Yes.
You
will go and you will be like, holy crap, Joaquin Phoenix deserves an award for that.
He's so good, Joaquin Phoenix. Love him.
But the first 40 minutes of the movie, you kind of are like, all right, I get it. And it's very heavy-handed. It's like, I understand, right? The guy, like, we all treat him crappy. Society's terrible. The rich people are really bad. It's just, it's not subtle in any shape or form. So all while right. I liked it and I'd recommend it, people saying it's like the best movie of the year or it's this just classic that's going to endure, I think that movie is going to age fairly poorly.
All right, we have a WAG fight. WAG meaning wives and girlfriends of sportsers. And this one is really quite genius if you haven't seen this. And we'll detail it next on The Fan.
Hey, real weight loss. Results, education, accountability, and lifestyle. Embark on your weight loss journey now at betteryoutoday.com.
Can I get a hot tub?
Well, I'm a huge fan of sports spouse rivalries. I think this should be a new thing in sports. Because I'm watching that Les Miles documentary at Kansas.
Yeah.
And his wife, man, she's a bulldog. Seriously, dude, she's not to be messed with.
This happens.
And so I feel like this is way more common than we know because they just stay behind the scenes. But the spouses of the athletes and coaches that we watch, man, there are a lot of good stories there.
I'm trying to think the two that come to mind and... There was one, I want to say it was a year or two ago. Mike can maybe help me out on this because he's a bit of a hockey guy too. I think it was the Ottawa Senators. They had two of their better players' wives were like actively going back and forth at one another on social media. And like the team had to step in. And then there was another one a couple years before that where a player got traded because his wife was having a meltdown because he was sleeping with a reporter that was covering the team.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know these stories.
You don't know those?
No, I don't know them.
Someone might be able to help me out. I'm pretty sure the one was with Ottawa and the other one was in
Scandalous.
Was in Edmonton. And yeah, he got dealt because he was stooping like one of the sideline or side ice reporters. And like his wife was freaking out and was like having a meltdown on social media. It does happen from time to time.
Well, you have Jackie Christie, Doug Christie's wife.
Yeah, she's a whole different kind of crazy.
And then did you have like a basketball wives show on TV at one point?
Yeah, it's still on there, but like most of them aren't married to basketball players. They all
used to be.
They used to be, or they've got like kids by them. And it's, I've seen that show, and it's called Basketball Wives. And if you ever want to see a collection of like the worst females on the planet, I give you Basketball Wives.
Really?
It's
worse than like Housewives, Orange County Housewives, and all that crap.
Because
those people are horrible.
It's the same sort of thing. It's people that have never really done anything except get knocked up by a basketball player and then somehow think that they're better than everyone else because they got knocked up by a basketball player, and they're just horrible, horrible human beings.
Well, we have a WAG fight. Wives and girlfriends, that's what WAG means.
Yes.
And this one, boy, I tell you, this is some genius right here.
This is Wayne Rooney, right? The soccer player?
Yeah, these are both soccer wives. You've got the two parties involved. You have Colleen Rooney, who is Wayne Rooney's wife.
And I've heard of him. I haven't heard of the other one.
The other guy's name is Jamie Vardy, and he is a younger, better soccer player than Wayne Rooney.
Now plays for DC United in the MLS.
Dude, he plays in the MLS. But
he used to be one of the best strikers in the world.
Yeah, at one point, he was a big deal. I've heard of him. This Vardy guy, I've never
heard
of.
He's on Leicester.
He's
younger. He was the one who helped them win the title when they were 9,000-1 odds.
Allow me to say this. I don't know who Leicester is either.
Leicester City? You remember that when they were the big underdog and they won?
That was Leicester City. I thought that was
was Leicester City.
Okay. I thought that was someone else.
Well, anyway, his wife's name is Rebecca Vardy.
Yeah.
So Colleen Rooney, what she did was she has a private Instagram account.
Of course she does.
Okay, so it's not public for all the fans to be like, oh, you're so pretty, and like, oh, thank you, I love you. You know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
It's private. It's her and her friends and family. So she had like 300-some people following her on this account. And Colleen Rooney, Wayne Rooney's wife, was noticing that a lot of the private things that she was telling her friends and family
Was making its way
to the Sun or like, you know, the British tabloids.
Yeah.
So she's like, what the F? So she goes through and she blocks or mutes all of her friends and family on this private Instagram account except for Rebecca Vardy.
She gets the sense that it's Mrs. Vardy here that's causing the problem, so she set the trap.
She totally did.
By the way, does that seem like going through a lot of effort to find someone who's talking trash about you?
Yes, it does, but I respect it greatly.
What else do you got to do? Right?
Vardy, so Jamie's wife, Rebecca Vardy, Colleen Rooney starts posting fake stories to this account, knowing that nobody else can see them. Nobody knows they're blocked or muted.
But this one.
Rebecca Vardy's the only one that can see these stories. And they're all fake. And so those stories, then Colleen Rooney was checking the tabloids. And what do you know? Those stories are in the tabloids. She's like, boom. Got you, bitch. Rebecca Vardy is the culprit.
And put it on her public Instagram account. And now
it's public.
And now it's public.
Now, Vardy says that other people have access to her account, and she's, like, really rich. Like, Vardy is like, look, I don't need to sell your dirt to the Sun, okay? There are people who have access to my account that would probably sell that news to the tabloids. It's not me, bitch.
She also says that she's disgusted because she's heavily pregnant, as opposed to being lightly pregnant.
Right.
No.
That means
heavily.
She's
pregnant.
She's both. She's probably heavenly and heavily pregnant.
Yes.
But heavily pregnant, there are varying degrees of pregnancy.
I guess.
But so she's denying it. But that's a really good WAG fight. And how about the balls on Rooney? Like, that's, I gotta tell you, man, that's pretty genius.
Who would even think to do that?
Right.
Because you can see who's looking at your stuff, who's like following your story, right? So you just mute everybody? Yeah.
If you post something on Instagram, not a big grammar, I'm not even on there. If you post a story on there, you can see everybody who's seen it.
I think on the...
Not the picture, the actual story.
The story.
Story, okay.
I think you can, but not the actual photo. But I loved it that... Did she have to do this with multiple people, or did she just immediately know this is the bitch that's doing this?
I don't know. I don't know how she figured it out, but she eventually got on. Or maybe she just did it one by one.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Did she have to go through? She only had 300 people, and I'm sure some of them you're like, all right, these people I don't have to worry about.
Yeah.
You probably have like, you know, 6 to 7 like potential suspects. It's like a game of Clue,
that
right?
Damn Posh Spice.
Yeah, you're like, it's Mrs. Vardy in the solarium with the candlestick to the sun, right? And you just kind of go through the, you know, kind of process of elimination. I think it's fascinating that you had nothing better to do with your time than try to set a trap for someone on Instagram. I'm fascinated.
Yeah. I mean, come
that.
On. She's just a rich soccer wife. What does she got to do?
Do people, this is, I take social media very lightly, but I'm amazed at what kind of, I don't know, place it holds in certain people's lives. I mean, it is like for some
people,
it's
a big deal.
Yeah, it is like life and death.
Yeah.
You're like, holy geez.
Yeah.
By the way,
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
Well, which one?
Well, both.
Yes and no.
So we go.
I like
no
one better than the other. In my power rankings, Vardy 1, Rooney 2.
Okay.
You?
That was my. Well, I was kind of thinking the same thing. But I was honestly with two big soccer stars, I was kind of hoping for more.
Couldn't agree more. Had the same thought.
You know,
but,
I'm sure they're
both, you know,
I'm sure they're both lovely in their own way. I just. Yeah, am I wrong in thinking that, like, with soccer players?
But these are just the wives, remember. Not the girlfriends.
Yeah,
the girlfriends are probably way hotter.
The girlfriends. Because, like, I've seen these things before where they do, like, a, you know, wives and girlfriends list. And the soccer players do very, very well for themselves.
Are the soccer players number one in terms of hot? Or is that hockey players? I've always heard hockey players are great.
Hockey players do real well. But worldwide, I'm assuming it's soccer players.
Race car drivers do well, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you seen golfers? And by the way, I'm totally amending my statement. Rooney 1, Vardy 2.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's look here.
Yeah.
Show research, of course.
Yeah, you seen golf wives?
Oh, yeah.
Golfers get hot.
Yeah. Well, look, can we just say, just in general, you're rich? Isn't that just, that's what it boils down to? Rich. Rich gets hot.
Nah, I think there's an archetype, though. I think you got to go deeper than that.
Do you
That's
really?
Too surface. Yeah, I do.
Well, you're right, too, that she is she's undercover.
Colleen?
Yeah.
What do you mean undercover? What does that mean?
Well, like, if you just did, like, if you see some of the photos that are getting passed around, you're like, yeah. And then you look at some others, you're like, oh, all right.
Super hot.
Yeah. Better than you, better than originally advertised.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I want more wives, spouse, girlfriend fights in sports. I think that's a new, that's an, un, you know, everybody, all these
untapped.
Pro, yeah. All these pro sports are talking about going international and we want to go to Mexico and we want to go to, here's your untapped sports revenue. Freaking feuds between spouses and girlfriends of sportsers. That's fantastic.
Well, I bet you get that away from the, away from the scenes. That's a wives mistress sort of thing. I'll bet you there's quite a bit of that.
Ton.
Yeah. I just, we need to get that. We need, what we need is reporters to have the balls that when they see these things to report it. Problem is, like, in the U.S., reporters try to, like, have this like standard, and no. We need, like, the sleaze. We want, like, the National Enquirer of Sports.
That's right.
To get on in there.
What about LPGA husbands? Are they hot? Says one of our texters.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know that either. I know, well, one guy who's married to an LPGA player.
I played with a guy in Denver that was married to an LPGA
and
player.
And yeah, he's hot.
Oh, okay. Well, I would assume, doesn't that go both ways? Rich ladies? This is just my theory, and I think it's a very solid one at
well,
that.
I feel like they're all married to golfers.
The richer you are, the better looking the spouse.
Don't you think? Like, what percentage of LPGA players are married to male golfers? Like, a lot.
You think?
Yeah, totally.
Just
I do think.
Just the lifestyle?
Yeah, just, yeah. Absolutely.
I would think that'd be a very tough lifestyle, to have two people that are constantly on tour like that, but...
Well, I'm not saying they're both on tour.
Golf.
I'm just saying that... Like, the LPGA player may be on tour, but the guy's just a golf guy, you know.
Hmm. Someone tweeted something in, but I can't read it, but it's funny, so.
Why can't you read it?
I'm not going to.
Why?
Just saying, whoever just texted that in, that was funny, but I'm not going to read it.
Yeah, everybody's making the lesbian jokes now.
That's not what it
low-hanging
is.
Low-hanging fruit, guys.
No.
Low-hanging fruit.
It's ridiculous.
A lot of lesbians on the LPGA tour.
I'm outraged. Mm-mm-mm. But it is true. Like, if you see an athlete and they're, like, super famous, then you see the wife and she's not, like, and this is why it's unfair. Like, if they're not a 9 or 10, everyone's like, really? Like, with Kurt Warner. Like, remember he got famous all of a sudden and then people were giving his wife crap? That's probably hard to be the spouse of someone that's really rich and famous if you're just, like, a normal person. Because we just assume that you're going to be, like, a supermodel and you're smoking hot.
Federer's wife?
And then what happens is...
You've seen her?
Oh, I'm sure she's hot, right?
Federer's wife?
Yeah.
You know. She's a former tennis player. But no, she's not what you're... I mean, he's the example of what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. See, but then here's the part that you
and
feel...
And he's great, by the way.
He is. He seems wonderful. But then here's the part that's... Like, you always feel bad because you're like, oh, that's awesome. He's married to a normal person, right? They actually fell in love before he's famous or whatever.
Wait, hot people can be normal, too.
But this is what happens. They always end up getting divorced, and then who does he end up with? He ends up with, like, the 19-year-old Brazilian model, and you're like, eh.
Djokovic's wife is really hot.
Yeah.
And young and looks like a model.
See?
And then Nadal's gay, right?
No.
Oh, he's not?
No.
Oh, I always thought he was.
No, he's a ladies' man.
What's his wife got going on? Let me see.
I don't know if he's married.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Okay, that's his wife. Oh, yeah. Hot Brazilian.
Yeah.
Or wait, Spaniard. Wait, where's he from?
I think he's from Spain.
Yeah. Yeah, she's hot. Oof.
See?
Ooh. But in a down-to-earth sort of way. What? What did you say?
I think Mike? He's saying we gotta go.
Music is running out.
Aw.
See, people are saying the Russell Wilson thing.
Put on more.
Russell Wilson had the college sweetheart. Seemed like a lovely person.
Ditched.
Got rich, famous, divorced, and who'd he end up with? Like a 10.
Let's be great, baby. Let's be great.
She's actually like
great.
A 12.
Let's be great. Let's be great. Let's be great. Come on.
He was great.
Here's
Let's
Mike.
Let's be great. Let's be great. Let's be great.
All right. Tonight is John Sakanik's birthday.
46 years of age.
And he will be with us.
I think he's eating pizza right now.
Next. Where?
John.
I don't know. I wasn't invited because we're on the air. I think Blind Onion, if I'm not mistaken.
Blind Onion?
Over in the Couve.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of Blind Onion Pizza?
Uh-uh. Is it good?
Yeah, it's a good pie.
You going to go over there?
Well, I can't. The party's over at 7. So.
Conveniently from 5 to 7 p.m.
Yes. Yes.
Huh. You guys were exchanging pleasantries on Twitter, I saw. Being all lovey-dovey and gooey on there.
Well, he is my brother.
Yeah.
I do love him, kind of.
I guess.
He used to be a lot cooler.
Did he?
Yeah. Kind of a bite in the ass now, but...
Oh, he's old.
He's old and set in his ways.
He very much is set in his ways.
I'm trying to get him to break out of it, but...
He still defends well-done steak. I mean,
I know.
Come on.
I got him to leave the country, finally.
Good boy, son.
That's one thing.
You're taking credit for that?
No, not really. That's really his father-in-law who paid for the trip was the only reason why he went. But, like, he didn't leave the country for 44 years. So we got him to do that. And I figure if we can get him to do that, maybe eventually, like, we can get him to do other things, like, in slow increments. But we'll see.
A new survey. When's the last time you made a new friend?
Do you
have friends?
Yeah, I got friends. Like, I don't know. Like, define friend. Because I feel like friend is a term that gets thrown around.
Define friend.
Well, I meet lots of people that I consider friends, but there's friends and then there's friends. It's like, do you like me? Check yes or no. Do you like her or do you like her?
Well, I mean, I think friend is somebody that...
I need a definition of friend.
Well, I think it's somebody you hang out with from time to time. Who you get something from, you converse with,
you enjoy their
use
company.
Them for something?
Yeah, I mean, maybe handy. What?
What? Yeah.
No, it's not a pain to, like, set up something. It's just like, oh, yeah, sure, of course.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess that would be one element. I don't think they're a very good friend if it's a pain to hang out with them.
Let's say this. I meet friendly people a lot. I make friends
a few
and far between. Not a little. Like, what's less than a little?
A little.
Good question. What is less than a little?
A couple few?
No.
A scooch? a sliver.
I always thought a couple was less than a few, right? Isn't a couple two and a few is three?
Yeah.
So a little. What's less than a little?
I don't know.
Great question of the day.
Yeah.
Right there.
But I meet lots of people that I consider friends. I am friendly with. But as far as friends, people that I would do stuff with on a regular basis or they've been over at my house, those are few and far between.
The dictionary definition of friend is a person whom one knows and with whom one has a bond of mutual affection. Yeah. So it's like,
that's kind of vague, though.
It is
but
very vague.
But I think that's good because it's reciprocal. It's like, you know, look, there's a lot of relationships and acquaintances where it's like, oh, man, this thing's one-sided. I can't stand that guy. Or that guy can't stand you, and you can tell, right? Yeah. Those aren't friends. Friends are where it's like, man, we get along well. Like, we've connected. We've had a coffee. We've had lunch. We've had dinner. You know, we've had sex. Whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Hey.
So it's not that hard to define. It's hard to define in words, but it's not in your brain, right?
See, like, for instance, like we talk about him from time to show, but Officer McGuffey, great guy, P1 of the program. I've been friendly with McGuffey for a long time.
You're not friends.
But I went over to his house recently for dinner.
Oh, and maybe you are.
And we got together. And
I didn't know you guys hung out.
We had a love. Well, that was kind of the first, like, we went over to his house. We ate steak. We smoked cigars. We had whiskey. It was a wonderful time. I met his soon-to-be lovely bride.
Less than a little is a smidge.
So yeah. Let me ask you this. Now that I've done that, does he go from being someone that I'm friendly with to a friend?
He will if you continue that trajectory.
Okay.
Because there are times when you do that and you figure out, okay, maybe we've gone far here. And
no, because we want to do the reciprocal, have you back over at our place. But knowing me.
Well, let's see if it happens.
That could be 6 months from now.
I was going to say, that's a lot of big talk.
Yes.
Do you really want to? And is it really something that's like that could fizzle and then it won't go anywhere and you're not friends? So we'll see. That's early. But I'm a firm believer. What?
Someone's got pizza.
Oh, hey. Yeah, sure. Yeah, drop it off over there, guy.
It's for me.
Oh.
Because today was Yom Kippur, remember?
Oh, that's right.
Well, Mike, why are we burying the lead here?
Mike better go get his pizza.
So a Jewish guy brought pizza?
I think so, because he can break the fast.
For our Jewish guy?
Yeah.
Because it's sundown?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, I want a piece.
No, absolutely. We'll be stealing one.
Well, some guy just walked up to the windows like, here, you want the pizza?
Yeah, I think he pizza. I think he had a beer, too.
You know what we need is we need a little slide in. We need like a little...
like a delivery window.
A window, yeah.
Yeah, you just slide that open.
Bring us food.
Thank you. All right, continue with your...
I was going to say
that... friendly thing.
I think that as you go through life, I've got a lot of friends that are old friends.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as you go through different stages in life, you have different friends at different stages a lot of times. Like,
sure.
If you really think about it, sometimes you just fall out of... Like, I have a really good friend who lives here that I never see because our lives have just changed and we've got different things going on. And so, but he's still a very good friend of mine, but he is not in my regular heavy rotation of golf or drinks or anything.
Sure.
Right? Well, but we're very good friends. I've got a different set of friends now that I didn't have back when we first hung out. You know what I mean?
How many is your heavy rotation?
Well, what are we doing?
Well,
golfing? Because I've got different...
I've only got two in heavy rotation.
Are you talking about couples or...
No, just... I've got two people that are in heavy rotation.
Jesus.
Just two.
No, we've got... Several.
You've got several?
Yeah, a lot, yeah.
See, that's what I said. I've got lots of people that I'm friendly with that I go and do stuff. I've got... Well, that's not fair, because like one of the guys, like Dr. Dixon, who I love dearly, he lives in Bend. So therefore, that stops us from doing stuff on a regular basis. But I do big things with him. I travel. I go see him. We'll go on trips together. But as far as people that I do something with on a regular basis, there's really only two. Everyone else is... it kind of happens. Just kind of sporadically.
Yeah.
So I think maybe my heavy rotation is thin.
Married men generally seem to rely on their wives for social circle. Yeah, see, not in our house, man. Like...
No, you got your own crew.
Yeah. That's... Yeah. That would be miserable. Like, if... Like, yeah. No. Anyway, what were we talking about?
Friends and making friends. We needed more time to let this segment breathe. There's a lot to dig in here.
Yeah, yeah. The average American has not made a new friend in how long? This is a new survey.
A year.
5 years.
Whoa!
Yeah. 5 years. A recent survey reveals 45% of adults admit they find it hard to make new friends. In fact, the average adult hasn't made a new friend in the last 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And they blame a lot of things.
I'm not feeling so bad about myself anymore.
No.
Because I make friends.
There are a lot of recluses, man.
Yeah.
I mean, there really are. People that are just anxiety riddled or like they're just not even into it. Like some guy just texts and is like, who makes friends after the age of 35? To me, that is so like... That's like what? Who makes friends after 35? Well, hopefully everybody, you know, like 35, you're young. Like there's a lot of life left.
You should never stop.
But there are a lot of people like that who don't even want it. Like they're just like, dude, I'm out.
I think if I didn't have kids, I feel like I would be more open to doing things. But I still feel like I need to spend time at the home and kids and all that. I think once the kids are all gone, I think that'll free up some of the calendar. But I still enjoy meeting people and doing stuff. It's just, and if you have a friend that you do stuff with on a regular basis, that is like it's a major commitment. And like, you kind of have to set like mandates, right? I got one buddy that we like to ride bikes together. And so that kind of gives us something to do. And then I got another friend that we kind of have a date every week. We just were like, all right, well, it's like with the movie. And I'm like, if we don't see the movie, we make sure that we do drinks or we do dinner or we do lunch or something. We try to make an effort to see each other once a week, because if you don't put that commitment in, then you guys can go months without ever talking to one another.
Yeah, see, mine's a little more fluid. It's always like, oh, I haven't seen him in a while. I'm going to see if he can grab a coffee or lunch, or maybe we can go play golf. And it's just, there's a lot of guys in that rotation. But then there's also the couples. That's a separate thing where it's like, okay, let's get the wives together. And that's usually dinner, you know, because they don't golf.
I don't have any couple friends.
So anyway, aw.
No. Well, now I got McGuffey.
It's
like our first couple friend.
A majority of our friends tend to be couple friends.
Yeah.
In my marriage.
Well, it's hard to find couple friends because a lot of times it's hard. Like if the guys bond first and like they're buddies, it's like, oh, our wives should meet.
Yeah.
That can often be disastrous or awkward to the point where you can tell like, they're not going
to
jive.
You need the wives to be friends, then the husbands.
How it has been for us.
It's hard to find all four.
I think the guys are easier to get along with other guys.
Yes.
So for like two of our couple friends, it was my wife's friend first, and then I met the husband, and we hit it off, and it's fine, and it's fun. So, I mean, that for us, it was easy.
Yeah, but see, ours is the other way, but I will say my wife's tough. She's a tough one. And so there's oftentimes where I'm like, you know, she's a tougher one to get out of the house. She's a tougher one to, like, get along with everyone. Like, she doesn't give a S, you know. Like, she'll be like, look, I don't like this bitch.
I'm out.
So, anyway, because Mike's right. Guys are generally more agreeable in situations like that and can find common ground than women.
I thought your wife was delightful. I don't know.
She is, but yeah, she's not. But I'm the social one.
Yes.
Of the two 100%. Of us, she's certainly a behind the...
The like, most fascinating thing, because it's not like we do a lot. I've done stuff occasionally over the years with the Rops. My favorite part is that at some point in the evening, Danielle can go home and Rop can stay out. It blows my mind.
That does blow my mind, too.
Really?
Yes.
Can stay out like she's my keeper or something?
That is the most fascinating couple thing I've ever seen, is we can all be out doing something, and at some point in the evening... We're like, hey, let's go out. We'll head to a bar, get some drinks or whatever. And your wife will punt and be like, no, I'm going home.
She goes to bed early.
That is almost a universal you have to go with. But with you guys, it's just like, no.
There's not even an expectation of it from her.
No.
It blew my mind.
Well, anyway, we got to go. We got to get your brother in here. It's his birthday. But people are saying that they blame their lack of new friendships on their aversions to the bar scene. Nobody likes to go to the bar. They also blame it on, they feel like everyone else's circle of friends is already formed, so it's hard to kind of join the gang, you know? And, then other people blame family. They just say, well, I'd just rather spend time with family. Others have hobbies that, aren't conducive to making friends, or then other people have to move a lot and they can't keep friends that way. So those are the reasons why people don't have any friends. Aww.
So by that definition, I have lots of friends.
All right, coming up next, it is the birthday boy on the fan.
Every morning at the mine, you could see him arrive. He stood 6 foot six and weighed 245, kind of broad.
This is Mailing It In with Big John Sicanic on 1080 The Fan.
Thanks for the pizza, Mike, and whoever brought it.
Mort.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, thank you, Mort, for helping me break my fast today with some pizza. And you're welcome for sharing the pizza.
Hello, Jonathan. Happy birthday,
sir.
Even
though you haven't been fasting.
I am also having pizza right now for my birthday. Thank you. I appreciate the well wishes.
Uh-huh. Even though I was not invited to your party, you jerk.
No, you were invited. You just couldn't make it because of your job.
You guys at Chuck E. Cheese?
I wish.
The Rat's Nest?
But when you were a kid, like, Chuck E. Cheese was legit. If you had a party at Chuck E. Cheese, that was super cool. It's gross now, but there was a time when that was as cool as it got.
I wouldn't put it past you to have your 46th birthday at Chuck E. Cheese.
Have you been to Chuck E. Cheese lately?
No, thank God.
No, it's been years.
It leaves a lot to be desired. I'm going to say it's probably been 10 years since I had to do a party at Chuck E. Cheese for one of my kids or somebody that invited my kid there, and it's a whole thing there now. So I am grateful that I am not at Chuck E. Cheese. No, I'm at the Blind Onion Pizza in Vancouver. They make a good call.
Yeah, Blind Onion's legit. I don't know where this pizza's from, but it's pretty good.
Congrats on being 46, man.
Yeah,
you made
dying.
It a long way.
Yeah,
46. How about that? I mean, 50's right around the corner. I feel like that's sneaking up on me. That's a whole thing. Right,
well, at this point, John, it's not sneaking up on you. It's coming at you like a freight train.
I know, right? Well, Rob, what are you, Rob, 44?
29.
Yeah, okay. How do you feel about that?
What?
Like, I'm not really 50? Bothered by it, but like 50 seems old. That's coming right around the corner. I can't believe that.
John never seems bothered. Like, I'm trying to fight the old man-ness. Like, I feel like I'm trying to take the fight to it. I feel like
You're actively fighting it, yeah.
I feel like John is laying down in the trench and just being like, come and get me, sweet age. I'm right here. Like, the apocalypse is upon us, and John is not interested in fighting the zombies.
Well, listen, you can't fight it, so
you can fight it.
Embrace it. No.
That's, I disagree. You can fight. You're going to lose, but you can fight the good fight.
Yeah, or you can just embrace it and enjoy the ride. And quite frankly, I'm enjoying the ride.
I'm with you, John. I don't care. Whatever.
Yeah, Rob's in that boat, too. He's like, whatever.
It's just life, man. I got other things. I'd rather hang out with friends and golf and stuff. I don't care what I look like. Who cares?
Right? Jay, my brother's kids were here tonight having pizza with me, and my niece Lily, who I just love, she comes out. She helped me out to the car with some stuff, and she says, Uncle John, did you have a good birthday? And I said, yeah, I had a great birthday. And she said, what'd you do? And I said, this. And she kind of looked at me and I said, when you're old like this, all I want is to be together with my family, have some pizza, sit around, enjoy each other's company, go home, take my pants off, and lay on the couch. That's really all I want to do. And that's about to happen. And I feel great about
it. It's not about to happen. We've got Metallica here in a half hour.
What?
Yeah, are you going to come to that?
Absolutely.
Wait, what?
Well, the event I went to a couple weeks back, they filmed that, and they're doing a one-night-only in-theaters thing.
Oh, I thought, I was like, wait, they're here again?
Just they're doing a movie of the symphony performance.
Oh, all right. Yeah, nice. Yeah. That'll be fun.
I'm headed to see that right now. So, you know, some family, some pizza, some Metallica. And what else is there, Rob?
What could be better?
That's a good birthday, right?
Maybe some veneers.
Right?
You know.
Maybe I'll stumble home from Metallica in the mood for love, and my wife will be in the mood. That's really all I can ask.
This will be the one time a year she's ready to do it.
She'll be asleep by the time you get home, I guarantee it.
Yeah, well, to quote a great Metallica song, that's sad but true.
Yeah. So I may not make it for the Ecstasy of Gold, but I'll be there.
All right, bye.
I'll save you a seat. Thanks, you guys. I love you both.
Happy birthday. We love you, too. 46-year-old John Sicanic right there, everybody. How about that?
He's a good dude.
He is a great dude.
In all honesty, that is a good man. He's a boring man, but he's a damn good man.
He's a much better Sicanic than you.
Yes. 100%.
In my power rankings, he's ahead of you.
He's a better person than I am.
All right.
Maybe.
No, he is. Coach's show is next. Ducks. That's Ducks. And then Hot Corner, Harrison Lynch is coming up after that. So plenty of programming left for you. Don't change the channel. We're back tomorrow, 3 to 7 on The Fan. Good night.
Red Ships of Spain. Red Ships of Spain.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.